Do you like blogs? Well, join the conversation.
Yeah, for years, you know, I didn't blog, and then all of a sudden I thought, you know, there are just certain subjects that are worth writing about and on. Engage, comment on JB Sophia's blogspot.com. That's JBSOFIAS blog, BLOG, dot blogspot.com.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. See the type of Christ? The Lord carried his own cross, didn't he? And here Isaac carries his own wood. Placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife.
It's the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
Now I'm changed by the word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us. Changed by the word.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
And early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. And he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in a distance. How would you like to have to know what you're going to have to do and travel there for 3 days? Think he slept at night? I doubt it. I wouldn't. And he looked up and he saw the place in a distance, and he said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there, and we will worship. Then we will come back to you." And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. See the type of Christ? The Lord carried his own cross, didn't he? And here Isaac carries his own wood. Placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied, "the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." And the two of them went on together. You have to excuse me. It's rather touching, I think. The old man's faith is no longer doubts, does it? No, God's matured him. And when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Better to fear God than men." Don't worry about men. They can take your house and kill your body, but they can't take your soul. Fear God. Seek him first. He'll add all other things. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. And he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Now, I'm going to make some brief comments about this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice in verse 2, it says, and verse 12, he was his only son. We know he wasn't his only son. Ishmael was another son. But he was his only son as far as God is concerned, because that was the son God promised, and that was the son of promise. Verse 3. It said, early the next morning. He's come a long way from when God first spoke to him. Took him 15 years to leave his father. God told him to do that. In fact, God had to take his father. He had to die before he left him. And now when God speaks to him, it doesn't take 15 years to do it. It says immediately. He got up early the next morning and was on his way. This man has become a real firebrand for the Lord. Trusted, tried, stable, ready to hear. Verse 5, it says, we, something in the depths of his very being. Faith knew that they would return, that he wouldn't lose, that God wouldn't take back the promise that he gave him. Verse 11, he says, Abraham, Abraham. Whenever God speaks your name twice, you better heed. Remember Samuel, Samuel. Simon, Simon. Saul, Saul on the road to Damascus. Mary, Mary at the tomb. Abraham, Abraham, he says. And verse 14, that he named it, the Lord will provide. You know, we pick names today because we like it. We liked Joel, so we, well, actually, there was a reason for that. My name is Joseph Bruce, J.B. Sophia. So we gave my boy the same initials, just changed the first word, named him Joel Bruce Sophia. But, you know, we do things like that because we like it. We like the name, we like the initials, we want to name him after Uncle Harry or name her after Aunt Jane or, you know, just because we like it. Well, in that day and age, they gave names because of the situation and the circumstance. And I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, when we build our church, we ought to put over the main entrance of the door, Monuments of Mercy. Because everyone, every person who enters and has been redeemed by the blood of Christ is a monument to the mercy of God. Or a city of refuge, because that's what it is. A place where the injured can be bound up and the sick can be healed and the weak can be strengthened and the lost can be redeemed. Instead of some fancy name like the Celebration Center, you know, that's okay, but we ought to say what it is, what God wants to do and what God has done. That's what they did then. So we ought to do. Now, how does all this relate to us this morning as a church family? And I said I was going to tie church business into this whole thing. The promise fulfilled, but where is the Lamb? God is our provider. Well, as you know, the property board submitted a rather good plan for the piece of property that we're looking at on Chapel Heights Road, 18.1 acres. I thought they did an excellent job, came up with a rather good proposal. And they offered the owner the full price, $120,000. The owner is very wealthy, very, very wealthy. Owns much land, really doesn't need the money. So they worked out a deal where they thought the church could benefit and he could benefit. And they ask him to donate back to the church $40,000, which is $20,000 instantly in his pocket. Now, if you're not quite up on this stuff, just bear with me for a minute. You men who can hang in there, you ladies, hang in there, because I just want to share with you this, because it does lay out the future, and I'd like you to know that. You give and you support it. All right? Due to his tax bracket, that instantly gives him $20,000, which means, in a sense, he's getting $100,000 for the property. The most he's ever been offered is $80,000. Now, we asked that he would hold mortgage for the $80,000 for what, 15 or 20 years? 15 years. Which means that we would come up with a $10,000 down payment and then pay him $750 per month for the next 15 years, which is what we pay for this building right now. Which means when we moved, the $750 is already in our church budget. It's not an additional strain. And all we have is the building. You following me, ladies? Hang in there, all right? Now, the response was this. Well, I like the price, but I don't like the terms. So, he said he wouldn't give his own church $40,000, let alone another church. And he didn't like holding the mortgage, but if we would come up with $25,000, he would hold mortgage for 10 years, which means we give him $25,000, and then we have $100,000 that we're going to pay off over the next 10 years, which is about $950 a month. And he concluded his terms with this phrase: if I don't get what I want for that piece of property, I won't sell it. I've got four kids. I'll give it to them. Well, my first reaction was rather fleshly. My instantaneous reply was, well, you may give it to your four kids sooner than you think. I didn't tell him that, but I thought that. And I told our property board that. Then I thought, you know, that's just greedy. He doesn't need it. And my fleshly mind thought again. And I thought, I remember a rich man in the Bible who was greedy. All these bad things I'm thinking of. Pray for your enemies, the Bible says. Bless those who curse you. And look at my mind. It's doing just that, right? Typical. And then I began to recognize that God was guiding us every step of the way. He is our Redeemer. He is our friend. He is our provider. And the Lord impressed upon me as I was fasting and praying. I try and take... Some know this, and I don't make it public, but I try and take one day every week and pray and just fast for this work, for you who are members of it and who come to it, and for my own life, that God would just keep me where I need to be as a pastor, so that He might use this work. And in my day of prayer and fasting, the Lord just impressed upon me, you make preparations to build. I'll provide the land. You prepare, as David collected the goods for the temple. You collect, you prepare, I'll provide the land. Why pay $750 for a piece of property you're not using and another $750 a month for the one you're renting? That's $1,500 a month that you really can't afford. You can be putting it into reaching souls for Christ, meeting people's needs. Put the $750 away towards a building, and when you're ready to build, I'll provide the land. And yet there's something else in it all. It's on your bulletin. Take your bulletin. Now, I told my wife I needed 40 minutes this morning for this sermon. Now, I'm usually done in 25 to 30, and I've been about 33, So I'm going to be close to it. So just bear with me for a moment. As I was praying, the Lord just kept impressing this verse in my mind. Kept planning it there. David said, I was young, now I'm old. I'm an old man. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Psalm 37:25. And you remember Abraham? He looked up and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. And as I read that psalm, verses stood out. So I shared them with you in your pastor's devotions. A little portion says from your pastor's devotions. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. And He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. The justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. Don't worry about the circumstances that you're looking at. Wait patiently for the Lord and keep His way. We must wait patiently and we must keep His way. He will exalt you to possess the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. And as I read this psalm, these verses just kept coming to my mind. And I thought, GCCC's purpose is not for glorifying GCCC. We don't exist to glorify ourselves collectively or individually. It's to accomplish the purpose of God. It's to bring His kingdom to the hearts of lost people and to this county. And if He'll let us, to the world. You know what? No man, no woman, no organization, no principalities are going to stand in the way of God accomplishing His purpose. We keep His way. Nobody's going to stand in that. I just don't believe God would allow it. Because God always accomplishes His purpose. Now, I'm aware that this piece of property we're looking at may not necessarily be the exact one God has for us. I'm aware of that. There are certain little things that have happened that sort of set my mind on that. But I can't say to you, I know without any question that is the peace. But I can say this, I know that God has said to us, you prepare the way, I'll provide the place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You speak to us today. That You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that Your promises stand secure. And that though the heavens and the earth may crumble to dust, Your word remains forever. And Lord, we know that You have raised up this church and the people in it. You've changed lives. You've snatched them from the pit of hell and You've placed them into Your presence forever. And for that, we thank You. And we know that there's a county out there that needs to be reached. And we know that there are other good works that are reaching them. But we too know that we will reach people that no one else will reach. Because You have set us to do that. So we rest, Lord, in Your promise that we will prepare the way and trust that You'll provide the place. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, you know, it could be no fault of your own.
Yeah.
You know, you grew up in a church and nobody ever said, hey, there had to be a time when you had to personalize your faith, where you had to receive Christ for the forgiveness of sin. I remember Florence Littower saying, I went to church all my life and never heard that I had to receive Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. She said, I didn't even know if I understood that I needed to receive him for my sins. I knew I was a sinner, but I just thought that if I lived a good enough life, that would cover my bases.
Right.
So I don't know what denomination you come from, but Scripture's clear. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet there's a remedy. Believe the truth about the remedy. But God demonstrates his love towards us, Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Understand that when we receive Christ, therefore now is there no condemnation to those who are in him, Romans 8:1. I would say this throughout the prison. Guess what? You don't have to be held in bondage. You can have freedom inside these walls. Therefore is there now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And for those listening, you know, that sentence of sin doesn't have to be stamped upon you. You can be stamped pardoned. See, commit your life to his righteousness. Say, I'll be a follower of Christ. Does it mean you're going to be perfect? No, but I'll tell you what it does mean. You know who your daddy is.
Amen.
And when you sin, you feel absolutely awful, miserable, because you know that what you're doing is grieving your dad.
That's right.
And that's how you know you belong. So for those of you who have yet to receive Christ, pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Forgive me for the things I've done that are wrong. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, Blaine, what do they do?
Well, Bruce, what they should do is this. Call us toll-free at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433 and request our ABC pamphlet. It's a free gift for those of you who prayed with Pastor Bruce, and it addresses some of the questions about salvation and suggestions of what to do next, like reading God's Word, attending church, and fellowship with Christian friends. You can also get a copy at cbtw.org. On our website, you can also find other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ and how to support Changed by the Word. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus Christ in our community and all around the world, including nations like Nigeria, China, and Singapore, just to mention a few. And blessings like that only happen from the prayers and sacrificial gifts of our Changed by the Word Good Sam partners. Those of you who have been blessed by Changed by the Word and believe its message is worth sharing in other cities and countries, consider partnering financially with us. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW icon in the top toolbar, or call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433, and join our Good Samaritan team. Join us tomorrow right here at Changed by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world. With today's Marriage Point, here's Pastor Dewey.
We see in Genesis 2, 23 and 24, God's definition of marriage. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave behind his father and his mother and shall cleave, that is, be yoked together like glue unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh." God pulls Adam apart by his rib and then wants the two to be united. How cool is that? Marriage is leaving and cleaving. Yes, it is the union of a man and a woman. It is a man leaving his father and mother, his prior relationship and identity, and cleaving, clinging, being glued to with his wife. Not with his hands and arms alone, but his very soul. His entire being.
Marriage Point is a ministry of the Gloucester County Community Church, serving southern New Jersey and the greater Philadelphia area. For more information, call 856-582-0222 or visit gcccpray.com.